Hi, this is Dr. E.
And this is Dr. Dre.
Welcome to our podcast,
Mixtape Hope.
Have you ever closed your eyes and seen the shape or color of a sound? There is a name for this phenomenon, synesthesia. It is the experience that some have in seeing shapes and color when hearing music. It is the interplay between senses, and much like the colors on a palette, which blend together in a borderless existence, there is a unique beauty in how this gift is shared with the world. Today's guest captures her senses, giving life to the music that she hears, literally, in her art.
The pieces are simply breathtaking. Her song list reads like a magical mixtape. Radiohead, James Blake, Stevie Wonder, Frank Ocean, John Lennon, Hendrix, and so many more. Sit inside Melissa McCracken's world for a bit with us, and let this be only the beginning of what this brilliant, talented artist stirs within your soul. Visit her at melissamccracken.com. As well, you can shop at bluegalleryonline.com for her works.
Can you see us or hear us?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you guys.
Awesome.
Visuals and audio.
Cool,
we're
cool.
Good.
Let's see. We can't see you yet.
Is it okay if we record the session?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, I've got
recording in progress.
Got it.
Very cool.
Oh.
Sorry about that. We are technology, right?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
We work with our hands.
Diving in. So, welcome,
exactly.
Melissa McCracken.
Welcome,
synesthesia artist, and wow, I had a chance to look at some of your art. So I'm Luis Espinoza. I'm Dre's co-host, husband, and just partner in this thing called life.
Yes. Okay. So we're gonna start over here because I know our producer John is behind the screen here. So we want to start by saying welcome to Mixtape Hope Podcast, Melissa McCracken. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm Dre. This is our co-host.
Hi, Luis.
Co-host. Yes, Luis. So tell us. We'll tell our audience how we obviously are so humbled and had the opportunity to speak with you today, but tell us about you. Who are you? Where are you physically right now in the universe?
So my name's Melissa. I've been living in Brooklyn for the past 4 years. I grew up in Kansas City in Missouri. So that's where I started my art career. I feel so close to Kansas City. My family's still all back there and everything, and I miss them a bunch. And yeah, so I'm out here now. I spent a little time in Germany. That's where I started everything, and then came out here, and it's kind of been a whirlwind of like one creative expression after the other and one life event after the other. So it's just a string of a bunch of things happening all the time.
That beautiful thread of life, right?
I kind of want to hear how this happened because, Dre's pulmonologist, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. And when she brought up synesthesia, I had to look it up. Because it's not something that I remember knowing or being very knowledgeable about. And Dre's the one who brought it up to my attention. And if you want to explain how you
Absolutely.
Guys connected.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of what we do, obviously, every day is just kind of restoring or trying to restore some smoothness or some calmness to, lives of people who come in seeking one thing. And sometimes we sit down and we unpack something totally different in a session. And I guess I've been very distracted with the healing properties, yes, of music. And I know it sounds redundant on this podcast, but honestly, I kind of got down this rabbit hole of like the Mozart effect and what happens when we listen to certain music, like what does it do to us on a cellular level? And then as I kind of started, this is about a year and a half ago, started reading more about, okay, how does the impact of music and the tactile creativity of art and artistic expression, how were those merged? And I think I came across something with, maybe it was Pharrell and a video or something he was doing. And I just kind of started unweaving this amazing, brilliant, phenomenon. And then if our audience, listeners, anyone out there, if you have not seen Melissa's art, like we cannot obviously visually convey that on a podcast, but it is something to behold. And it is, honestly, I've already made a plug for our wedding song with her, and she's like, no, I don't have that one anymore. But I really, and you seem very comfortable and confident in this brilliant journey, because I heard you say it's been a journey of here, there, and everywhere. So take us back to, I think you listened to one of her podcasts, but take us back to an article that I read that said that you kind of discovered this phenomenon when you were a teenager. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as far back as I can remember, I knew that I saw colors with music. Like, that was just a given, so much so that I didn't even question it. It was just a part of reality. And I bring this up a bunch that, you know, there's so much visual association with music. We have music videos, we've got all the lighting at concerts. We had like the Windows Media Player that would do those visual effects whenever you play music in the 90s on your computer and everything. So I feel like that always felt like a natural mm-hmm. association to me. And it wasn't until I was in high school and I was trying to find a ringtone that matched the color of my phone. And I was telling a friend about that. And I was like, so this song's orange and my phone is blue and that's complementary color. So I think this would go well together. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I've said this before, but I literally thought he didn't know what complementary colors were. I was like, you know, it's blue and orange. Like, that's why it makes sense. And he's like, wait a second. What is this color that you're seeing at all? I don't care what color it is, but what is it? And so then that kind of opened up the discussion a little bit more. And I just like was talking to some friends and family, and pretty much everyone was like, no, that's, we're not seeing that either. And so I kind of tabled it for a little bit. And I mean, I just didn't really think about it that much. It was kind of more of a passing conversation. And I had conversations with my brothers about seeing colors and letters and numbers too, because there's so many different mm-hmm. forms of synesthesia that you can have, just the blending of your senses. So those discussions happened a little bit. And then I got to college, was in a class for general psychology, and the professor brought it up. And we had a lecture of 100 students, and he was like, does anyone have synesthesia? And I was the only person to raise my hand. So it felt like the rest of the lecture was just like, what color is my name? And what color is this song? You know? And it was just fascinating, because I think we don't reveal a lot about our internal worlds. Like, we might talk about our emotions and things like that, but as far as the lens through which we view it, I feel like gets overlooked sometimes. And so that really opened it up. I started painting music. I painted a friend's song, and then just got more into it whenever I had moved out to Germany. And yeah, it was just crazy to hear from other people who had synesthesia as well. And they were like, I thought something was wrong with me. You know, they had different versions of it, discovering that they had it. So it kind of brought a sense of community together, of just like, and even just that idea of diving into things that you may not know what you don't know. You don't know how someone's visualizing the world. And so it just really expanded that window for me of being like, okay, there's even more, you know, and what else do we not know that we don't know about? So I thought that was really interesting.
So now that you're in New York, how has the artist community accepted you there as far as your technique, your talents?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I just started my first show out here. I'll be having this month. It's just a little group show, which is really exciting. I've been out here for 4 years, and I had taken some time off. Whenever I moved out, my dad had just been diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer. And so it was kind of, you know, that plays into everything too with creating and stuff like that. So I was back and forth, sure. You know, at home a lot. He passed away a couple months before COVID hit, and then that was the whole thing. And so I think for a while I didn't really acknowledge that I needed that art to connect me. So I didn't really step into the art community so much out here. And then whenever I did, it's like, I feel like, you know, artists are always ready to see what someone else's perspective is and what they bring to the table. So it's always been really welcoming and supportive. I feel like all art communities that I've been in Kansas City too and stuff have been just like, as long as you're doing your thing. You know, I think that's the biggest truth of it all, is make sure that you're being authentic with what you're creating, and people are welcoming to that.
Wow. So wow. To anyone out there listening, I can't even describe like your smile, your emotion, your energy, your spirit is as vivid as your artwork. Like, and thank you so much for sharing that. I know that's, those are those phases of life, right? That we're always in those ebb and flow, but wow. It's on your timeline for sure. But okay, so you say you took a break, but the crazy thing is, looking at your your gallery, you've been nonstop since, I mean, for a long time, you were just nonstop. So good for you. I want to bring this up because when we spoke on the phone recently, you were like, well, yeah, I went here and I went there and then I just took a little break. And I was like, right on, good for you. And I think a lot of times we don't, especially when you're in a demanding field like art or medicine or whatever it is of service, you always feel like you have to give, 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 and you almost feel guilty about like taking that pause. So good for you in living in that pause. And I'm sure it's fertile ground for so much inspiration, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, yeah, there was always that pressure of I need to create more. And, you know, you do hear about how creation itself is so healing. And so there's that guilt of feeling like, oh, I need to do this to get myself back together or something like that. And it's like, no, sometimes you do need to rest and reflect, which is why I love other people's art so much, music or whatever, is that it gives you that chance to sit and reflect and just absorb those emotions that someone else might have been feeling, experiencing something similar to you. So you kind of, you're just kind of passing the ball with that, I guess, you know, of people holding space for each other to feel those emotions. So I allowed that for a little while and I feel like I'm ready to share my side and kind of, you know, put the creation back into existence.
Have you had any memorable experiences of fans enjoying your artwork, being there with them and maybe seeing their interpretation of your interpretation of a song or music?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's been a very emotional experience. I mean, I've always been very connected to music. It's always been probably the number one, you know, mode of healing that I choose, you know, which is why I put it in my artwork. And so, you know, I feel emotionally connected to these songs. And when people bring up like commissioned work or something, it's usually something that's been significant to them, like a wedding song. Or, you know, I remember speaking to a woman, her daughter had passed in Sandy Hook and stuff like that. And they're sharing such personal stories with me, which is like what this is all about. And one thing in particular was whenever my dad was in the hospital in and out a bunch, there was a new wing that was opened up and they had called me to create some artwork for that wing. And and it was really close. Sorry if I get emotional, but it was really close to where my dad's rooms ended up being and stuff. So he would be able to get up and it was like I think it was a 5 foot by 5 foot painting. So it was just really big piece and he could go down to the coffee shop and it was right there. And I had some friends that I'd known from high school that were, you know, dealing with some medical issues and out there and they had seen that painting and said that it, you know, they connected to it in a way and then got closer and realized it was me. Wow. And it was just like, it was cool that it was essences connecting. What I mean, like it was just
pure energy.
I don't know.
Pure energies connecting. So yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. I feel like whenever, and that's, sorry, no. I feel like I'm rambling about this, but like, that's where it gets hard with the monetary side and making money and making a living off of my work, because you want to keep it outside of that kind of toxic part of life, because the whole drive behind it shouldn't be like, oh, I need to make rent this month, even though I do. And so it's always kind of battling between those things, because I do think it's about just putting your essence out there. And it's not going to be good when you're like, oh, I need to make a buck off of this, you know? So
that's such a pure and mature way of saying it. Like the toxicity of something that's necessary. And then you get roped into the values of it. It's, and sometimes you just want to let go and let the universe and say, you know, this is, I think that's why we all aspire to be artists. I think in many ways, like there's even the art of practice in medicine. I mean, you hear it like a lot of times there, I think some of us who get it right and some of us who have a bad day and then forever on, everyone's like, well, that's not a very good, you know, doctor. But we all have our things that we're going through inside, but it's, it's that part of it that how can you put a price tag on a moment or an experience or a life? But,
and once you stay true to your passion, your why, so to speak, then kind of put that out there, you'll know what the reception is. And from what we've seen, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I did have a question as far as with the songs. When you hear the same song, like, how does that translate into what you paint? In other words, could you paint a different picture for every song, like when you hear it? Or is it kind of always the similar type image that it conjures?
Yeah. It's generally the same. Like, it's hard to gauge because there's no physical reference for a time that I heard it before. You know, it's like, I don't know if I've heard a song one time and forgot that I heard it, and later on it comes out a different image. But I will say, as far as painting it, there's a couple of things. One is that I like the style to be very organic. So there's splatters, there's, you know, marbling, there's whatever. And so that itself can never be recreated. But what I try to do when I make these is just get that essence across. Like, the feeling that I'm feeling when listening to the music feels most importantly, or most important to translate to the canvas than anything else. And I've kind of gone back and forth between being like, oh, the horns in this section are gold, so I want to put that over here or whatever. And I feel like sometimes that just complicates it a little bit too much, you know? So it ends up, you know, there's just so many images that you could go with because the music is constantly changing and transforming and shifting colors and textures and stuff like that. So I just try to stick with one piece at a time, you know, and just let that be the idea of it, because I feel like it might get a little, I don't know, off the track if it's another one. And then it's like, well, what does this mean? And then it feels a little too literal or something at that point.
And so if someone had to try to define your style, you know, whether it's classic, impressionist, or modern, where would you kind of describe yourself or your technique?
She's unique.
I don't know. I mean, I say abstract expressionist because, first of all, I love all those women from mid-century art, you know, just like really making a name for themselves and stuff. So I love to feel connected. It sounds cheesy to say this, but it's like dancing a little bit. You know, there's like a lot of working with the canvas in that way. So I feel like it's expressionist for those reasons, you know, it's not just trying to take a different version of something literal in space, even though it is literal in my mind. I've heard people be like, I mean, realism though, because that's something real happening in her head. So it's kind of a very abstract thing. I'll just put abstract on it.
Well,
it's unique and beautiful. Absolutely. Genre.
One of the things, I was so impressed with the works. And Dre, we were sitting at the kitchen table the other day, and she's like, have you seen the pictures of the James Webb Telescope? Do you know what I'm talking to about? Referring?
Yes.
And when I saw some of the pictures in your gallery, I swear the vividness, and I was like, are we tapping into some kind of universal truth here?
Like, goosebumps. Like
pictures literally from this telescope that were just released in July. Of the vividness and the color. And I was like, whoa, is this a McCracken? Or
God. No, it's literally. So Lisa Ebarb, Lisa Perdiz Ebarb, our good friend, we sat down to coffee just this past Saturday. And we were just kind of going through, you know, just catching up. We hadn't seen each other in a while. And she literally said, hey, I've been fascinated with, you know, the Webb telescope pictures. And she sent me the link, and I went home and I was like, these things are incredible. And honestly, like, as I was looking at them, I was like, wait, I've just seen something like this. Like, that's, it reminded me of this, like, you say universal, right? Like, it's this, like,
some innate, some kind of cosmic force that you've tapped into.
Yes. Okay, so I have a question. Have you ever, like, okay, so let's just take a song, for instance, like Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley, which we absolutely love. When you're painting, do you set out and say, hey, I like this song, I want to paint it? Or do you just playing music and then you just have, and what is
inspiration?
I have so many questions all in one, but what's your, I guess your, is it acrylic or what are you painting with?
Oils.
I paint with oils. Yeah.
Oils. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, like, do you just get your brush and start, like, do you have the jams on or is it planned? It almost is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll turn it on. I've gone back and forth with trying to figure out ideas. I'm like, is this too distracting to constantly have 1 3-minute song playing for, you know, because a lot of the reason why I choose what I choose is because I feel emotionally connected to these songs. And I'm like, there have been times where I've gotten burnt out on a song because I'm just like, listening to it nonstop. So I go back and forth with that. But usually that's at least where it starts, is like just my paints out, just grabbing colors, mixing them together, and kind of seeing what sort of idea of a foundation I can build that that feels like a starting point. You know, it's kind of like, I guess, meditative in that sense of just throwing things down, seeing what connects and what resonates, and then editing from that point and adding things or pulling away things. And just like I'm saying, having that conversation with it and seeing where it wants to go until we get to the point where it feels right, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So cool. So cool. When we spoke on the phone, she was asking about certain. So I told her, definitely, you know, Patrick Droney has probably played on repeat in our house for a while now, just some of his, because like you, he, you know, speaking to him, it's just, it's so real, it's so genuine, and his journey has not been hurry up, rush, let's do this to make money, kind of like you were saying. It's just this really cool, vibey, taking his time, like you're taking your time to figure out what you want to share with the world, and it's truly giving, very giving, artistic form.
Yeah. So music forms, are you, I saw your playlist on your website. It's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I looked it up on Spotify to see if you had it posted there, but I'm gonna have to go one by one and just do it myself. So are you constantly listening to new artists, or do you like alternative music, or is it mostly, older?
Yeah. I love all different types of music. I grew up in a pretty musical household. My oldest brother, I've got two older brothers, and he's just like incredible with music. Self-taught on piano, you know, has played the guitar since he was 6 years old, like all of that kind of stuff. So he was always showing me new stuff, and that's a big foundation for where I got. So I'm always trying to discover new stuff, any type of genre. I don't know if this sounds funny to say, but it's like, as long as it feels genuine, I feel connected to it. You know, it's like different personality. Like, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of country music, but I totally grew up with Patsy Cline and, you know, just all of that old stuff and Tammy Wynette. And I feel so connected to that because it's just genuine versions of those things, you know? And so I've painted some of that before, and it's, it doesn't really matter where it comes from. It's just, I love when it's meaning something from someone else or whatever, you know, it can be from anywhere. So,
and do you get a chance to go to see many live concerts?
Now that, you know, COVID's lifted a little bit, it's happening again. And yeah, that has been really fun. I was telling a friend recently, I went to see John Mayer in January and I forgot what an arena concert was like, because the energy there, it's like people are so into it. You know, he's someone who's been around for a while, so people feel connected to it like I did in high school or whatever. And it's just like, it really is invigorating and really makes you want to connect to it more because you're seeing how people are like, this is so important, you know?
Absolutely.
It can be magical. I mean, we recently went to go see a show where they played the album front to back, 20 years, you know, separated. And it was like, wow, this is like going through a time machine, just of emotions and feelings.
So cool.
But one of the reasons I asked that is because I know with smaller venues here in New Orleans, there's an artist, Frenchie, who likes to set up his canvas in the back. And so as a event or a concert, you know, he's drawing stills. I was wondering if that's something that, as you were appreciating a concert, if you could ever just sit there and have those creative juices flow and be like drawing it out live.
Yeah. Yeah. My work takes a little bit more of a process. I get into the details and stuff that it would be hard to do something like that. But I thought about that with concerts because there's so much visual going on that I don't really acknowledge my synesthesia in those moments. You know what I mean? Like it feels, I don't know if it gets tuned out or what, or if there's just so much more coming in, but
it's not
much of a thing. I don't know.
That's a good thing, right? So you get to kind of be in someone else's element and
just enjoy the experience.
Good for you.
Without sensory overload.
Absolutely. And do you play an instrument?
No. I mean, I have a guitar. I've tried to learn how to play the guitar, and you know, I played the flute growing up and the violin, just dabbled in stuff or whatever. It's, you know, when you got an older brother that's awesome at it, it's like, you know, but I mean, and I sang in choir, so there's some of that too, but I'm not the most musically inclined.
Well, voice is considered an instrument. That's one thing I've learned over all this time.
That's right.
Yes.
So how many siblings did you say you have?
Two older brothers. Yeah.
Very cool. So you're and you're the baby. That's wonderful. Well, we must say thank you to your family. Obviously your brothers have had a tremendous influence on you. That's so cool to be able to tie that, you know, that bond of family. So you mentioned the Spotify, so I'm going to go ahead and make a request. If you had to put together like 20 songs, like would you be able to narrow it down? Because I'm looking at the, like, just the whole spectrum of, and I don't like to say favorite songs, but if you had to put together a Spotify list with 20 songs, would you be able to narrow it down?
Of my favorite, like that I've painted 20 songs?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, so many of those, like you mentioned Little Wing, and that was the first, one of the first paintings that I did. And that was because that was so, I remember my brother practicing Little Wing on the guitar when I was little in the bedroom. And I remember seeing those visuals side by side, like that's more of the memory than sitting there itself, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, that's never going to get old to me. You know, it's like, that would be on there for sure. And then there's just other things that have those life events. One of my shows that I did, my third show, I think, was all based in experiences that I'd had with music with other people. Like my mom and I, she would sing Doris Day and stuff. And we were walking around one wintry day in Kansas City and they were playing Doris Day, It's Magic, over the loudspeakers. And it just felt very connected to me and my mom. And so that was one of the pieces in the show. And it's just like, you know, I think I get like insatiable with those feelings that come with, you know, those people and those songs that I just want to keep tacking onto it however I can or something.
Absolutely.
Like
that. It's as you're speaking, it's almost like you're tethered to this like emotional jukebox, right? Like you're feeling and almost seeing these vivid memories tied into those songs. And I think that's a lot about that's a lot about what we talk about in this podcast. It's right. Just, and we call it, you know, not to sound, you know, Hallmarky again, but that healing that we can't pull out of these white coats. And that's the part that a lot of times I think if we slow down enough to listen, like someone has felt this, someone has
expressed this,
like things that are going on in the world. Like, you know, John Lennon sang about this, like whatever generation we're in right now, we all need to imagine. We all need to sit down and slow it down and figure out, like, even in our small little universe that's ourselves or our family, like how can we make this day, this moment better? Just the little things like that. And you're such a big part of that in a big way. I can't say thank you enough, because I know it's not you know, especially when you're a creative like you can't always dial in like when you're going to be emotionally, you know, free to do a painting or an interview. So I wholeheartedly appreciate your time today. And
thank you.
Yes. And your family. Okay. So, and then I have to ask, like, okay, are y'all a baseball family, football family? You have two older brothers.
Motorsports family.
Motorsports.
My brothers would jump me on their dirt bikes. It was like, I was just the tag along for every event that they were getting, you know, just whatever. So we did that and we sailed and stuff like that. My dad was just like the most adventurous person to ever. I remember sitting on his shoulders while he was riding a unicycle when I was younger. So it was always like gearhead kind of stuff. Like they were kind of thrill seekers in a fun way. So not as many sports, but you know.
But adventure.
Yeah.
Even better. Adventure.
Motocross is tough. I've treated a few of those athletes and they're challenging sometimes.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So tell us about the upcoming show, because you've mentioned there's two. Yes. There's one coming up soon and there's one in the spring as well. So we definitely want to get that out there. And how can people check out your work and go ahead and
Yeah. So I've got a show. It's just a group show here in New York at the Safira and Ventura Gallery. And that's going on for the month of December. And then back in Kansas City, I'll be having my own solo show, be called Sound and Vision, very literal. And that'll just be, you know, my first exhibition in 3 years, 4 years, I think. So it's exciting. Wow. It's a really fun time to be out of the studio and into real people and, you know, just
connect with your fans.
Very nice. And do you have any dates for the show back home?
No, I'm not sure. Well, I do. It opens on the first Fridays. In Kansas City, we have an event called First Fridays. So every month of the year, there's big art events and stuff like that. So it'll be opening the first Friday of March. I can't remember what day that is.
Very cool. Well, you'll have to keep us posted. And please don't stop doing what you're doing. It's a beautiful gift. It's a universal gift. And yes, thank you for the time today. We can't wait. So we should be posting up in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melissa, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah.
Good luck.
Check her out. And and you stay warm up there in Brooklyn. And and who knows, you may see us at one of the shows one day. So.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would love that.
Yay. So. Well, look, you have a wonderful holiday. Shout out to your family as well. Again, can't thank you all enough for being part of this creative process.
Thanks for being our guest.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely. Bye.
Special thanks to our producer, John Gerard.
And our coordinating manager, Olivia Olson.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram @MixtapeHopePodcast.
Thank you.